That's
yeah,
a sin.
The fact that he was there when he stands in the bar. But he was at the Continental. We have to watch him on TV.
Nice. Sure. All right, gentlemen. We waited yesterday specially for Saba Josh. He was kind enough to come today on time to treat us to a closure, so we didn't say the last few words. So let's get back to the end of Perek Rishon and Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, even though today's Daf is Yud Ches, Perek Sheni, I mean. And we were giving now the teretz of why it's not necessarily a stira of the shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and the Rabbanan when it comes to the question whether Hashin and Le'yura, the difference between a chatan saying Kriyat Shema and someone who doesn't do melacha on Cholam Moed, was we said now, take a look about five lines up from the end of the parak. Derabonan adrabonan lokasha. There's no problem with the Rabbanan's stira when they contradict themselves in the question of Yura, because Kriyat Shema, they're Kiva de Kuliyama Kokoro, everyone is reading Kriyat Shema. So when the Chatan basically acts like everyone else, that's not the definition of Yuhara. Yuhara is the question of how one acts in relationship to the people around him. So since Iu Nami Kari, Lo Nifsik Yuhara, he's not doing anything different than anyone else. When it comes to not doing Melacha on Tisha B'Av, everyone else in a minig, a place where the minig is to do melacha, is doing melacha. So therefore he's distinguishing himself from his surroundings, and in doing that, we're chashin in the yura. Hachakivan de kuli alma avdi melacha v'iyu lo kavid, mirziki yura. Whereas Reb Shimi ben Gamliel, ad Reb Shimi ben Gamliel lo kasha, there's no question over here of how to understand Reb Shimi ben Gamliel either, because it's not a contradiction. According to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, the question is whether he's making an assertion about himself, not whether he's acting differently than other people. So a chatan who insists on saying Kriyat Shema is making assertion about his abilities to concentrate, despite the fact that he's a chatan. Such an assertion is yura, where it's not true. And therefore, hatam bikavanata yamilta, when it comes to Kriyat Shema, it has to do with the facts. Can he or can he not be aware of the Kriyat Shema? Vanan sahadi delo matzil chavuni. We have every reason to testify to the fact that he's just as much a jerk as everybody else, and he does not know how to be mechavein when he's a chatan. And he's insisting that he is. That's yura. Aval hacha, there's nothing that is assertive bechalal when it comes to not doing work. Because not doing work, there's a lot of batlanim out there that don't do work. And therefore, haroe omer melachahu de'enlo. He obviously just doesn't have a job. Pok chuzi, kama batlani, kama shuk, how many batlanim there are out there in the shuk. You walk through the shuk of people sitting there playing those silly games and backgammon and so on and so there. But there's a chashina mishum. You are a hundred alachaya korei. Wait. Give it a little bit more. We waited for this.
The nether. Something to hide if you're perek.
Mi shemeto mutal lefanav patur mi kriyat shmao minatvilinu mikol mitzvot amurot batorah. So now continuing some of the elements that have to do, actually when I say continuing, it's very much continuing, because there's a question, is machlokas here, Ben Arishonim, where does this parak belong? Rashi apparently had the parak, Misha Meto, after the parak of Tfilat HaShachar, because now we're talking about both Tfilah, Kriyat Shema, so yeah, okay, so we'll discuss the dinim of Tfilat HaShachar, and that was the way that he had it in the Seder of his Gemara, Tosfos Tainis. The retine is over here, that it makes a great deal of sense here, because we were talking at the end of the previous parak, the p'tur of Kriyat Shema, because of Chatan, Oseg B'Mitzvah, we introduce now what may be a new issue of p'tur, and that's actually a Machlokas Rishonim, whether we're talking about something new or whether it's a continuation of the halacha, either according to some of Tirda, and that someone who has a body to bury has the same din as a chasen, so that an oneg and a chasen are essentially the same, both are involved in a mitzvah which is taking up their concentration despite the fact that they're not currently involved specifically in the burial. It's a fascinating juxtaposition which occurs again and again throughout Shas. The Din of Chosen, Sheva Brochas versus Sheva Shivas Yimei Avelut, the funeral procession meeting the Chasna procession, who goes first. So this is about the theme throughout Ketuvot. Here would be another example. Chatan and Onen essentially have the same halachas. Others learn that the halacha over here is not because of tier to the mitzvah, it's actually because of Esek, the mitzvah. And others learn we're introducing a new issue, which is Kovod HaMeis. So that the ideas of how one acts around a meis are influenced not only by the shaila, whether it's, there's a halacha of specific activity in a mitzvah, or a tier to the mitzvah, which we remarked in the previous parak, but a new din of how one acts around a meis bichlal, which we'll see very much defines the nature of the sugya in the Gemara that follows this Mishnah, which does not concentrate on tirdat mitzvah as much as it does on loig l'rash and kovan hameis and shmirat hameis and so on and so forth. So it says the Mishnah, Mishnah meito mutal lefanav. Now right now we're going to assume that that means literally. His body is in front of him, and there it is in the same room where he is, patur mikriyat shma, uminat tefillah, uminat tefillin. Some are not gores, the next words, mikol mitzvot ha'amurot b'Torah, because the question over here is whether this is a din in tirda. If it's a din in tirda, it shouldn't expand to all mitzvot, because only those things that require concentration, we learned out b'Potter because of tirda. It's only asik that part is yo'osik b'mitzvah potter min ha'mitzvah. Again, all of this in our halachic review, because it's very nogeh al halacha, these nafkaminas and how to understand the mitzvah, the Mishnah. Nosei hamita v'chilufehen v'chilufei chilufehen. Now at a funeral, you have people that are carrying the body, but everybody is trying to get a turn. So you have chilufin, you have chilufin, and this was the minhag at the time as well, of the Gemara, that everyone wanted to have a share in the actual nesiat hamita, to be mekayim the mitzvah of the kovod hameis and the levayat hameis. So the din is like this. And here there's a lot of problems with the Girsa. And we'll read it, the Girsa that's in front of us, which is the Girsa of Rashi, who learns that the people that are behind the Mita means they've already finished their mitzvah, and nonetheless, they are going to go back around and try to get another chance, which also is actually done often. And those that are in front are people who didn't get their chance yet, and they're waiting now to be Mekayim the mitzvah. Whereas Tosus understands, because of that he has to change the girsa, Tosus understands the difference between someone before and after is whether they are going to ever get a chance again. If they're after, in other words, it's over, they were already Mekayim their mitzvah, they're not coming back again. So Rashi has the girsa as we have it. Et shelifnei hamita v'etshel achar hamita. Whether we're talking about people that are lifnei hamita, that are going now to get the chance to be Nosei Ameit, or those that are now already had their chance. Now, et shelifnei hamita, in the case where the mita is tzorech behem. So now if they're in front of the mita and they are now next in line, they have to actually carry it, they're needed for carrying it, they're pturim, because they're actually being osik now in this mitzvah. The etshila acher hamita, even though tzorech b'hem, in other words, even though they are going to have a chance again, so there's still a tzorech for them in this funeral, but since they were already yotzi their mitzvah, there's no reason why they can't, there's plenty of people there, there's no reason why they can't now say kriyat shema, which after all is a mitzvah overet, it's passing by, the time is passing, it's mitzvah dioraita, let them say their kriyat shema. However, both would be elu ve'elu pturim and not tefillah, because after all, the tefillah is not the araisa, and there's time that you can be mispalel later on, and so on. Some rishonim stress the time, some stress the question of the araisa, the rabbanat. Kavru et hamet v'chazru. Now, of course, the minhag then was as it is today, that after the kvura, they made the shura in the Beit HaKvarot. So it took some time to go from the Mokam HaKever to the road back up on top, where the Avelim, when they came up, would pass by the two rows, between the two rows, which is called the Shura for the Nichum. Generally speaking, in a Shura, you have people that are actually up front in the Shura, that the Avelim will actually see as they walk by. But it may be, you know, 10 rows deep. Now the Meitim, the Avelim, do not see the people at the back. They see the people in the front. So the question is like this. Everybody's running up now from the keder up to the road. So if there's enough time, im yecholim la'atchil ve'legmar ad shelo yagiyo l'shura, if you could complete Kriyat Shema, so then, fine, then do so. Yatchilu, by the time you get up to the shura. Ve'im lav, but if you can't, then you shouldn't begin being Isaac in the other mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Question is, by the way, which some of the Yachronim discuss, is why not? You finish your mitzvah of Kvura, you have another mitzvah now, start the other mitzvah. If you can't do the mitzvah of Nichum HaVeilim and the Shura, so Osik b'mitzvah potrim in a mitzvah in the middle of reading Kriyat Shema. Why is there a problem? Maybe to have to plan out whether I'll be able to do the Nichum or not. It's weird. So most of the Achronim learn that the whole Levaya is one essential mitzvah. So that I'm involved both in helping the Avelim and Kavod HaMeit throughout. And therefore, you can't say just because I'm in the middle of walking up to the road and we haven't started the Shura, that we've ended the mitzvah of this funeral. Obviously, there's a sense of involvement in all of the elements of the funeral. Therefore, Be'ikar, you're still involved in the mitzvah of the Levayat HaMeit, and you shouldn't, therefore, be Osik in something else. Osik can finish it and get back to your mitzvah and it won't interrupt you at all. Now, once you're in the Shura, Ha'omdim Ba'Shura, Ha'pnimiyim, the ones who the Avelim are going to be seeing and are going to be hearing as they walk by, they are Potter because they have to be Osik right now in Nichum Avelim. Va'chitzoniim, the ones that are on the outside, so they're like five rows further out, the Avelim are not going to see them. So the Chitzoniim, they are Chayev. Now, this Girsa, they're chayav because they're not really osik b'mitzvah now. They're standing there sufficient. They're neither torud nor actually being osik. Tosis is bothered by this girsa because, as explained to you, l'shitato, once you did it, you're not going to be coming back again. So why would li'achar hamita be potter from anything? You're finished. As far as you're concerned, the funeral is over. So how do you get that? Even would be tzrichalehem if they were no. How do you even use the words of the Mishnah? How could the mita possibly be tzrichalehem if the definition of le'achar hamita according to Tosfos is that there's no tzrichalehem, and therefore he doesn't like the girsa that we have, and he brings that there was. He doesn't change the girsa that there's an extant girsa that reads in the Mishnah shelifnei hamita v'shelachar hamita etcha hamita tzrichalehem pturin. Which is very straightforward. The way we have it, you'll notice, is not very grammatical. It's using words to go forwards and backwards, which happens sometimes, but it is a bit strange, the formulation of Rashi. Says the Gemara, if we take the words Mishameto mutal lefanav, meaning physically, literally, mutal lefanav. So in other words, you're saying that only if a person is in front of the body, then he's part of Rikriyat Shema and so on. But if he is not in front of the body, then this wouldn't be true when he would have to say Kriyat Shema and so on, despite the fact that he's an Onain and that he has to take care of this mate today. Is that true, though? Ramini, doesn't it say Beferush that Mishimeto Mutal Lefanav Ochel Bebayet Acher? Someone who has a mate in front of him has to move to another room to eat. V'imein Lo Bayet Acher, if he doesn't have another room, he should go to a friend's house. Ochel Bebayet Chaviro. Vim ein lo beit chaverov, he doesn't have a friend who has a house. So then he should make a mechitza in between himself and the mate in his own room, and only then eat. Vim ein lo davar lasot mechitza, and if he can't even do that, mechazir panav, he turns to the wall, not facing the mate, the other direction, va'ochel. And even when he eats, in that fashion. All of this is Mishum Kavod HaMeit. We're not talking about doing a mitzvah. We're talking about simply eating. And the idea is that to eat and to take care of one's physical living needs in the presence of one who is dead is like Lo Egel Rash. In other words, I continue to be Osik in my life while yours is over. So when he's eating, it's just a need. So he shouldn't pamper himself in eating. Eino mesa v'ochel. It doesn't take the Roman approach of lying while he's eating. Veino ochel basar, veino shote yayin. He doesn't pamper himself by eating meat, drinking wine. And he's potter from mitzvahs, since many learn he's usher in mitzvahs. Veino mevarech, he does not say any brachas. Veino mizamein, he doesn't say birkat hamazon. Rashi learns in all of these, he doesn't have to. Many of the Rishonim arguments he's not allowed to. Again, which we'll go into more in our halachic review next Friday. Ve'in mevarchim alav, he doesn't use somebody else's bracha to say amen to. In mezamnim alav, you don't bring him to be mitzaref to the birkat hazimun, he's not one of the three. Upatur mikriyat shema min atvila min atvilin, umikol mitzvot amurot batorah. And he'd be parted from all mitzvahs. Now notice that it seems to be going on any of the above cases. In other words, he moved to the next room already. He's eating in the next room. It says he should go to the next room. It was friend's house. Nonetheless, in all of the above cases, he's parted from all mitzvahs.
Is he online or a shomer?
We'll talk about the shomer. Right now we're talking about an onen. We'll get to the shomer. V'yolchel basa b'Shabbos, however, on Shabbos, he eats the Roman fashion, he eats meat, drinks wine, olchel basa v'shote yayin, and he's mevorech, and mezamein, mevorechet alav, mezamenim alav, and he's chayev b'chol mitzvot amurat b'Torah, and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, well, once he's chayev in those, he's chayev in all of them. Huh? What's that supposed to mean? Metov shit chayev b'elun, chayev b'kolam. Reb Yochanan explains, my b'nayah, the question over here is whether things in private, Tashmish Amita, where the acting out in Aninut on Shabbat or in Avelut on Shabbat would not be noticeable. Nobody's going to know if he's sleeping with his wife or not. That's the question of whether there's Noheg Isser of Tashmish Amita, the Chiev of Onan Friday night. That's the difference between what Shmuel Gamliel says. Once you're Chayev, you're Chayev. In any event, Benogea, our question, Katani Mias, what's the bottom line? Patur Mikriyat Shema, Minatvila, Minatvilin, Mikol mitzvot amurat b'Torah, despite the fact that the guy is certainly not in the same room as the mate, and therefore meto is not mutala fanav. Now, how do you explain our Mishnah in light of this? Omer of Papa, maybe this part is going only on the last piece, which says if you don't have anything to make a mechitza, turn to the wall, turn the other direction. So in the event that this person turned the other direction for the mate, he's still in the room, and then he's part of Mikriyat Shema and so on, in which case it would be completely consistent with the Mishnah that says Mishameto Mutalefanav. So Tirgama Machzir Panav Vochel, all of the cases of the Ptur would be going specifically where he turned aside. Rav Ashi says, what are you talking about? Mutalefanav does not mean that he's physically in the presence of the mate. Mutal fanav means he's psychologically in the presence of the mate. Mutal is a lashon of achrayut. He's responsible. So the responsibility is mutal alav. If he's responsible for the kvura, kivanshu mutal alav lekovro, then that has a din of mutal fanav asher. That's the way we use the word even in the Chumash. You read the Chumash, you see that's what it means. It says, Vayokom Avraham mi'al p'nei meto. He goes to speak to the Bnei Chet, to buy the Marat HaMachpelah, and he says, B'feirush v'ekbaram metin milefanai. There's a milefanai. He's not in the presence of the mate. So we see that milefanav means his sense of responsibility to take care of the burial. So you say, give me an opportunity to take care of that responsibility, even though he's not in the presence of Sarah at the time that he's negotiating with the Bnei Chet. So you see, therefore, that Kozman dami. That makes it very clear from the Pasuk. By the way, this has very important implications, because if we learn as Rav Ashi that mutal is the responsibility rather than the physical presence, then that would mean that someone who is not responsible, let's say there's a Chevra Kaddish and he has absolutely no relationship at all to the Kvura, or he's out of town, or the mate is now in an airplane being taken there to Israel, or those other family members have taken over and given him the boot, or whatever the case is. In all those cases, there would not be a din of aninut, according to this, because he's not personally responsible. So despite the fact the funeral hasn't taken place, and he should be an onen in the sense of being a relative on the day of death, since there's no responsibility, there's no aninut. Now, the problem here is that the mashma'ut, as a number of you have asked, the mashma'ut of the Mishnah is that only Misha Meito Mutalafanav. How about if it's not his personal mate, it's not a family member, he simply volunteered to do the Shemira on this mate? I mean, then the mashma'ut is that if he's a Shemer, that he is Chayev. Now, the Mishnah should just say, somebody is being Isaac with the maid. What difference does it make if it's meito or not meito? You're telling me meito, inavo mishamro, lo. The Tanya, doesn't it say the Ferush in the Braita, that I'm mishameret amet? Avo pishe no meito. Patur mi kriyat shema minat vila minat vilin, umicho mitzvot amurat da Torah. And you're saying all is meito. Says the Gemara. Both are true. There's two separate dinim. There's a din of mishamro. But that's a specific halacha where I am on duty. So if I'm on duty, then it's apa pishe no meto, even though I'm not a relative, but my responsibility for this mate gives me the dinim of the ptur here, whether they're in terms of the chiyuv of kavod hamet, or whether they're in terms of osek b'mitzvah, tirta b'mitzvah. And on the other hand, someone who's not mishamro, and it's meto, apa pishe no mishamro, then he would also have these chiyuvim because of the overall responsibility for the kfura, despite the fact that right now he's not being a shomer. Okay, fine, but in other words, you're saying it's one or the other, right? In other words, either meito or mishamro, right? But, I mean, avo mahalak with beta kvarot lo. I mean, certainly a guy who just happens to be taking a stroll through a graveyard, I mean, it's clear from the mission. That's not included in this dinim, but even that's a problem. Because Vatanya, doesn't it say in the Braita, that a person should be careful not to be doing mitzvot in the Beit HaKvarot. Lo ya'alech adam beBeit HaKvarot v'tfilin b'rosho, v'sefer Torah b'zro'o, v'korei, shouldn't be holding a sefer, reading from the sefer. And the Tosa says it doesn't mean literally has to be reading, I mean, and even if he's saying Baal Peh, I mean, that's, the point is that it's clear, it's evident that he's big osev mitzvahs, and he's got his tefillin on his head. V'imo sekein, all he's doing is walking. Ya'alech beBeit HaKvarot. If he does such a thing, he's over mishum loeg larash cheraf oseu. There's someone who laughs at the poor. And there's nobody that is more poor than a mate who has nothing. So it's as if he is cursing his maker. So why does the Mishnah say only if he's a shomer, or only if he's an onay? Now, there is in fact a third category, but there's different parameters for the third category. This third category, being of loeg larash, is only where it's toch arba amot. So there, toch arba amot hu de'asur, chutz li arba amot. If you're not within 4 amos of an actual mate, despite the fact that you may have walked into the Beit HaKvarot under the sign and so on, I mean, that's not the point. Chutz li arba amot, you'd still be chayav in mitzvahs. The Yomamah mate to face arba amot the kriyat shma. As far as the dinim of tur kriyat shma around a mate, it's only within arba amos of the mate. But as far as the halacha of shmira is concerned, or the halacha of onin is concerned, there it's not defined by arba amot, as long as there is that shmira. By the way, getting into the din of shmira, gufa, hamishamera tamet afa pishe eino meto. He said patur mi kriyat shma, minat vila, minat vilin, b'chol mitzvot amurat v'torah. But Hayushinayim, as we saw before, you have 2 people, you can take turns. So Zeh Mishamer v'Zeh Korei, and then the other one is Mishamer, and the other one is Korei. Ben Azai says, you know, actually, if you're in a boat, you wouldn't need to take turns, because you could be Menicho b'Zavit Zu, Mitpalalim Shnehem b'Zavit Acheret. You could leave the mate in one side of the boat, you go to the other side of the boat, and you can both say Kriyat Shema, or tefillah. In other words, as he holds that the din of shmirat hamet would be a halakha where you have to worry that maybe a chaya is going to come along and drag the mate away, or maybe someone will come and capture the body in order to ransom it back and so on, which we know we have good friends in this area that like to do that type of thing. So if you've got ghouls and vultures and so on around, okay, but when you're on a boat in the middle of the ocean, you don't have to worry about that kind of thing. Whereas apparently the Tanakama argues on that, right? And it doesn't matter if it's on a boat or not. Marbi Naya, what are they arguing in? Omravina Khoshin Lach Barimika. But now the question is whether you have to worry about rats. If you have to worry about rats, you certainly have to be worried about rats on a boat. And therefore you'd have to be shomer on a boat as well, and you can have to take turns on a boat. Mashen Kein, according to Ben Azai, he's not chayish for achbarim, he's only chayish for chayot, gedolot, and so on, or the type that will walk on 2 legs. So over there, chayshina, and Amar Sabar, lo chayshina.
So it will be on the boat.
Well, only two people being Mishamer. I mean, if you're talking about what kind of boat, I mean, we could talk to Richie about the size of the boat.
Okay, so the third person, they want to be Shomer from him also.
No. I mean, where's he going to go? where you got a little bit of a closed area. You don't have to put up machzor.
Yeah,
no, I mean, whatever is the maizah, shayach.
An ocean liner would not have to set this, because somebody could.
I imagine.
How about a sealed room, like a vault that was actually sealed?
You know, it would be okay. That would be fine.
It would be a
Tonarabona. Hamolich, again, I mean, we'll talk about the other in Yonim of Shmirah, the Kovod, the Alma, which is a different halacha. But certainly it's not Kovod Shmirah, but this halacha would be no problem. Toner Rabban and Hamolich, Hatzamot Mimakom Lemakom. As far as the Kovod, that has to be given to a body, somebody who is carrying remains from one place to another. Hareza Loyit Neim Bediski Avit Neim Agabe Chamor. Don't put the bones in your backpack, throw them across your chamor, and then sit on them. To say the least. If, however, you need to hide the fact that you're carrying a body, so then you could do that. In other words, anything that's required for Shemirah is not considered to be an act of disrespect. As a matter of fact, the same thing would be of a Sefer Torah. Somebody's carrying a Sefer Torah on the road. Well, I mean, what do you mean? That you shouldn't sit on your Sefer Torah? I mean, isn't that Pshita? I mean, Yilema Aresh, what we're talking about the first part, Pshita? I mean, Migara Sefer Torah Ma'atzamot, we're supposed to give less respect to Sefer Torah than to remains? No, it's going on the Sefer. The Chiddush is you could sit on the Sefer Torah. That's the Chiddush. If you need to be Shomer the Sefer Torah, then any act which is necessary for Shmirah is not viewed as an act of disrespect. On the contrary, that's the way that you're respecting it by taking the best care of it. Omer Rechava, Omer Rebbe Yehuda, Kol Haro'eh HaMeit, Ve'inu Melaveyu, a person where a mate passes by and he simply keeps going along and managing his own affairs, and is not Melaveh the mate, Over Mishum Loeg L'Rash Kerav Aseir, there too, it's like he's laughing at the poor. Ve'im Yilvau Maskaro, Omer Vasi, Allah Vakatuv Omer, Malveh Hashem Chonin Dal, again, who is the most poor in the world, is a mate. So someone who does, who is mechanein adal, certainly it's chinunim, because he doesn't expect to be repaid. You know, it's pure chanun that he does for this dal. It's as if he lent Hakadosh Baruch Hu's needs, because somebody has to do something for this mate. Umechabdo chonin evyon. Anybody who's mechabed a mate, it's the equivalent of being mechanein an evyon. Now all of this immediately raises the question of the nature of the kavod that one does to the mate, or the nature of loeg l'rash. Does it have to do with an assumption of some awareness on the part of the mate, or is it a question of how we respond in our own mind to what it is that we see? So that leads to the next Gemara. So Reb Chiya and Reb Yonatan, Havikashakli ve'azi b'beit ha'kfarot. Reb Chiya and Reb Yonatan were walking together in a beit ha'kfarot, and Reb Yonatan had his tzitzis hanging down. Havikashad yatchilta to Reb Yonatan. Omalei Reb Chiya, so Reb Chiya told Reb Yonatan, Daye, pull up your tzitzis, will you? Kedei shelo yomru l'machar ba'in etzleinu v'achshav mecharfim otanu. So that these meitim should not say, look at these idiots, they'll be joining us tomorrow, and today they're laughing. Omar Lay. So Rabbi Yonatan said to Rabbi Chia, Umiyade kulei hai, what? The meitim have some awareness of what's going on. To be fairish pasuk in Kohelet, meitim inam yodim mauma. The dead don't know a thing. So Rabbi Chia said to him, you know, you're a smart guy. But im karita lo shanita, if you read it once, you obviously didn't review it. Im shanita lo shilashta, well, maybe you read it twice, but you certainly didn't do more than that. And if you did, somebody didn't teach you how to read. Im shilashta lo pishulacha, nobody explained what the pasuk means. Ki achayim yodim sheyamutu refers to people who are alive in their minds. This refers to tzaddikim. That even the mitatam nikru chayim, we find that tzaddikim are considered to be living even if they're physically dead. So there it's saying, chayim, people that are alive, yodim sheyamutu, they know that they're going to die. But someone who has no consciousness, and that's a Rasha who's not conscious of anything, he lives in the moment, he doesn't even know that he's going to die for all intents and purposes, because he's dead already. And I'll prove to you, and this is why I say that they obviously didn't teach you much of Tanakh over here, I'll prove to you that life and death in the psukim is not a reference to a chemical or electrochemical state. Because it says, "Ubnayahu ben Yehoyada ben Ish Chai." Ubnayahu ben Yehoyada was the son of a living man. Now that's something of a redundant statement. And what is that supposed to mean? And this, of course, will be our raya. Rav Palim Mikabatz El Hui Kat Shnei Ariel Moab. We're going to explain all of this pasuk later on. Vu Yarad Vihikat Ari B'Toch Habor B'Yom Hashalech. So, in any event. Ben Ishai. Oh, to Kuli Amud B'nei Meitin, you know, what do you think that means? The rest of the world were born from the dead. I mean, this is Jurassic Park we're talking about over here. Is that what you think? Everybody is born from living people. Ela Ben Ishai, it's got to be defining him as a living being, Shafil B'mitato, Koruchai, that such a person, even in his death, is alive. I'll explain the rest of the pasuk once we're on it. Yes, there's a, we're darshing. Tosfos explains that we're darshing the ktiv. The way the kri is ben ishchayil, the ktiv is ben ishchay, and we're being medayek over here. Why does it take out the lamed in the ktiv? That's what happens when you come late there, Davin. You never know who's going to be taken over. Okay. Yeah. Now, what's the rest of the pasuk? Rav Pealim Mikavtzel Shiribaviki Beitz Pealim LeTorah. This means that he got a lot of people involved in working in Torah. Hui Kach Ne Ariel Moab. What that means, the Ariel Moab is a reference to the Beit HaMikdash. Beit HaMikdash is always called Ariel. Hoi Ariel, Ariel. It's called Ariel Moab because it was made by the children of Rut, who was a Moabiyah. So when it says he busted now the teeth, so to speak, of the Ariel Moab, it means he broke all the world records in both Batei Mikdash. That's what we say today. He busted the records. Shaloniach kamoto lo b'mikdash rishon v'lo b'mikdash sheni. It was nobody on that level, during the whole period of the Batei Mikdash, he was absolutely beyond everybody. We are at Mikat Ari B'toch Habor B'Yom HaShaleg. What is that referring to? Well, there's two approaches to that. Some say, that means literally, on a cold winter day when the water was all iced over, and he wanted to learn, and Rashi says he needed to be Tevel to learn, and of course everybody asks him, what do you mean? The Takana of Ezra was centuries later. What was his problem of learning? Even if he's Tameh. And so, I mean, that's not really too much of a problem, actually. You know, they ask it on Rashi. And obviously, if Ezra's going to be Mitaken, remember that he was Mitaken based on Kabbalah Torah on Har Sinai, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very mocked on Keri and Har Sinai. He took for granted that you don't need Ezra to be Mitaken something. It's obvious then he wasn't going to learn as a Baal Keri. So he needed to go to the mikveh. Problem was that the water was frozen. So he busted through the ice, and he just got right in there, B'toch HaBor, and he took care of that lion, which is, of course, the desire that a person has not to do that kind of thing. He just went straight ahead and broke his guts. So you could argue, the Tovar, Gezizeh, the Bard of Nochat V'Tovar, and others say that he went and busted the Ari. The Ari is the most difficult, safer in the among all the brises to learn. B'toch HaBor, the one that's like right in the middle of the other svarim, what would that be? That's Vayikra. That's the toughest, because the Sifra is the toughest safer. Vayikra is like a lot of diukim and so on. So what it means is that he learned the entire Sifra on a winter's day. A short winter's day. A winter's day. Now the dead, they don't know anything. That doesn't refer to people who are literally dead. It means people who are dead, you look at their eyes, you can see they're dead. Just looking at the cover of Time magazine every week. So Eile Rishaim Shebechayehem Kruim Metim, this refers to people who even when they're alive are dead. And that's the pshat, Inam Yodim Um, they don't know they're gonna die, because they never think about anything. Shenemar, we see that Yechezkel refers to Atah, he refers to a living person, talking to Tzidkio, Atah Chalal Rasha, calls him a dead body. Nisi Yisrael, so what I mean, he's alive, what's he calling him dead for?
That's Sharon.
You can get arrested for that, John. Yeah. What do you mean, yumat hamet? I mean, if you're going to be yumat him, then he's a mate. But if you haven't been yumatted him yet, he isn't a mate yet. So how can you call him yumat hamet? Chayu! Ah, but you're calling him a mate because he was always dead. So all you're going to do is finish him off, so to speak. But he's been dead all along. So it must be that he's a mate to me, hikara. And therefore, Tainid Rukhia, that the Metim do know. It's just that people who are dead don't know anything even when they're alive. It has nothing to do with your question about the Metim and the Beit HaKfarot. Now, Rukhia, by and by, died himself, as is the wont of the flesh. And his children, B'nai Revithia, Nofuk L'Kiryata, they went out to the farm. And they were taking care of their Parnassah. And they were so busy on the farm, they couldn't chazer properly, and they were forgetting things, and they were really miserable. Iakilu Talmudayu, Havikomitzari Ledkure, and they were sitting there busting their heads trying to remember, who was that Rabbi Yehuda? Was that, oh my God. So Amalechad Lechavre Yoda Avundai, sorry, you think Dad knows about what we're going through over here? He left us this ridiculous farm, you know. Amalechidach, what would he know? Mino Yoda. Vilachtiv Yechabdu Banav Velo Yoda. Doesn't it say his children will be mechabed him, and they know nothing of it? And as a matter of fact, it goes on to say, v'yitzaru, the children will be miserable, v'lo yavin lavo, and he will not feel anything for their tzar. So says Eov. So if that's the case, obviously Dad doesn't know and doesn't give it then. Omer la'idach v'lo yada. What do you mean he doesn't know? Doesn't it say, in reference to the Metim, that his flesh will hurt him, and his soul will mourn for himself? So obviously he's got him, and that's also an Eov, so apparently he does know. On Rav Yitzchak, and Rav Yitzchak said about that it means, that a worm in the flesh of a body is like a needle sticking into a living being's body. Amrei b'tzara didu yadei. That's the personal letting go of life. It has nothing to do with what's going on in the rest of the world. B'tzara d'achrina lo yadei. He didn't know anything about anyone else's experiences in the world. So how would he know whether we're having a difficulty in remembering our learning? V'lo, is that true? V'atanya, doesn't it say there was a maisa b'chosid echad? Shinatan dinar la'ani be'erev Rosh Hashanah. It's a whole discussion in the Rishonim about this. It seems clear. Ritva says that all of these stories over here are dreams. And his proof is, I mean, first of all, Stam, I mean, the Isurim that are involved in Dorish Ala Meitim, and the why in the world, if it says Maisa B'chosid Echad, you're talking about Yudab Rav Yiloi, would go and sleep in a Beis HaKfaras on Leil Brahman. It's absurd. So therefore, and the whole story is crazy. So it's clearly a dream, says the Ritva. The many Akronim say the same thing. Others explain that you can excuse such a thing because it was Leil Rosh Hashanah, and therefore he was doing it to remind himself of Yom HaMisa, and whatever. In any event, I think we're better off going with the Ritva here. So the first part isn't a dream. Yeah, he gave a dinner to an audience on Erev Shabbos, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and in fact it's brought in among the Hasidish Sfarim that there's someone who needs a kapara, so he's given an opportunity to give money on Erev Rosh Hashanah to be mechaber for himself. So, okay, so this chassid grabs this opportunity, gives his last dime away. Of course, his wife wasn't too happy about that. V'iknitato ishto, his wife gets mad, they have a whole domestic spiff on Erev Rosh Hashanah. He doesn't want everybody to know that he doesn't want to go into his own home to sleep. So that night on Rosh Hashanah, he goes to the Beit HaKfarot to sleep. Where else is nobody's going to know he's sleeping in the Beit HaKfarot. They all think he has a happy marriage. So, Halach V'lan be Beit HaKfarot. The Shamar Shtei Ruchot. Now he hears two spirits speaking to each other in this Beit HaKvarot. Both of them were apparently girls. And Amra Chada LeChaverta, one says to her friend, "Hey, Chaverti, boy min Ashut Ba'olam. You know what? It's Leil Rosh Hashanah tonight. It's a great time to take a ride around the world. And they're going to be donning the world. We can find out what, you know, what's going on. I mean, we wouldn't want to miss out on what's going on." So Nishma Miachrei HaPargud Mapranut Ba'olam, get on the internet and find out what's happening, what's going to be happening in the world. Amrala Chavertas, or her friend says to her back, "I can't get out of here, I'm stuck. Shani Kvura B'machatzelet Shol Kanim, I'm buried in a mat that's made out of Kanim." Isn't that ridiculous? Anyway, so I'm stuck. But you know what? Why don't you go out and find out what's going on, let me know. So lechiat umashat shomat imrili. So okay, her friend goes al kahi v'shata uba'a. So she goes out, listens to what's coming along, comes back. So the friend says, "Nu chavreti mashamat miachreya pargod." Amra la, so she said, "I heard there was a gezeira this year, terrible, terrible. Kol hazorea b'revi'a rishona barad melakeoto. Whoever plants his field early at the first rains, there's going to be a hailstorm's going to wipe out all the early growth." So, okay, so that chassid heard this. Holachu v'zarab rivya rishniya. So he waits until the second rain so that the growth won't be mature enough to be ruined. And sure enough, shokol olam kolo laka, everybody else is wiped out, and he makes a killing, pardon the pun. And shalol olaka. So he sees this is a good idea. So Lishana Acheret, he figures, why not go again? I mean, if I got a good internet connection, well, Rosh Hashanah, I should find out what's happening.
So what's with the reeds?
What's with the reeds?
Yes, the first one, the second one's wrapped in reeds. She can't get out. What's with the reeds?
What do you mean, what's with them?
Why does that keep her locked in her quarters where the other one...
Shall I try wrapping you in reeds and see if you can get out?
It wasn't Busha, but she was afraid.
Some say that there's an Indian of the Hiskabris of the Neshama to the Guf, so whatever Matz of the Guf is in, Neshama, later on we'll see that it's Busha as well, but that was for the Chaim, not necessarily. I mean, it reflected on the Mason. Anyway, next year he goes again. Here's the same thing, and one says to the other one, okay, you know what, let's go out. And she says, I already told you. I told you last year already. So clearly, it's as David is saying, it's inappropriate, or I can't move. So al chavishata, she goes out and comes back again, and so she says to her chavreti, mashamat miachrei pargod. I heard this year they got everybody figured out. See, everybody's going to think and get away from the hailstorms by planting in the second rain. Ha ha! So they're one step ahead of them. We're going to wipe them out anyway, because this year there's going to be a storm. So whoever now, there's going to be a flood. So whoever has the not mature plants, it's going to be pulled out, wiped out by the flood. Only the people that plant early are going to survive this year. Of course, he hears this. Of course, he hears this. Halak v'zarab revi'a rishon. Everybody else figures they're smart. They're going to plant on the second revi'a. He plants on the first one. Sure enough, shokolo olam kolo nishtav. Shalo lo nishtav. And, of course, in classical storybook fashion, his wife finds out what was going on. And she asks him, "So what's it all about?" And once you tell your wife, it's all over. So Amralo Ishto, Mibnei Ma Eshtakat Shokol Olam Kolo Laka V'Shokol Lo Laka V'Akshav Shokol Olam Kolo Nishtaf V'Shokol Lo Nishtaf. Don't give me this chassid business, I know you too well. So what's the real story? So he told her the story. Sach L'Kol Advarim Alolo Amru. So they say about this guy, you know, Lo Ayu Yamim Mu'atim. How long does it take for this woman to expose what was going on? Sure enough, there's a fight between her and one of the neighbors. And the neighbor that she's fighting with is the mother of this girl that's buried b'machatzelet shel kanim. So after they curse each other out for a while, so she says to her neighbor, "You know what? Your daughter is buried in a machatzelet shokarim. You should be ashamed of yourself. Ah, boy. So the next one. Boy, v'chivereich bitech. Shikvura b'machatzelet shokarim. So the Shana Acheretz, now the poor Chosid doesn't know about this. He figures he's got a good thing going. So he goes to his ADSL line next year, and Olach along with Akvaro, then he hears again. So one of the Ruchot says, Chavati, boy, v'nashut b'olam, v'nishma mi'achorei apargod, ma'puran hud ba'al olam. Amra Allah, to the other one says, Chavati, anicheni, don't talk to me anymore. Vorm she'beini l'veinich, kvar nishmu bein achayim. People have heard us talking. Okay, so there went his advance information. But in any event, I mean, you see from here, Alma Yadi, apparently she knew that her mother had been told by the neighbor. I mean, otherwise, why did she complain? So that means that the Metim indeed are sensitive to what's going on in the world, right? Well, not necessarily. I mean, somebody else might have died and told her the news when he got there, you know. So, how do you know that the Metim know anything? I mean, so they could have been given this information. Toshma, okay, well, what about the famous story of Ze'iri? Ze'iri, he deposited his wallet in the safe of his bread and breakfast over there. He came back from the Beit HaMidrash to find out that the owner had died and he has no idea where the wallet is. Now he's really in trouble. So he followed her, Azal Batra L'Chatzar Mavet. He followed her to the Chatzar Mavet. The Gra says that the Chatzar Mavet does not mean a graveyard. In other words, again, it's a conceptual space, Chatzar Mavet. We don't refer to an actual graveyard as Chatzar Mavet.
It's a pasuk in the Chumash, the Chatzar Mavet is a place in the Chumash.
Yeah. So it's not literally a graveyard. Omar La Zuzi Hecha. So he asks this woman, again, so this is conceptual, this is something like the Ritva. Where's my money? Omar La, so she said, take your money, mituti bitsinura the dash b'doch plan. Go to such and such a door, lift up the hinge, and in the hole under the hinge, you'll find your money. And do me a favor, will you? Tell my mother to send me a comb and some eyeshadow. And she should send it along with my friend Josephine, who's on her deathbed. She'll be here tomorrow. Send it with her. So she said this in order to make a poignant statement about the fact that she had died young. Nobody seemed to care. So, you know, why don't you send my comb and my eyeshadow now that you're bothering with your money? But anyway, how did she know that her friend Josephine's on her deathbed? So it must be that she is aware of what's going on in the world, right? Alma Yade. Not necessarily. I mean, that could be that the Malach Duma, who's in charge of Metim, needed to make room for Josephine. So Duma announced in the sky, okay, make room, Josephine's on her way, you know. So she knew already, but not because she was aware of what's going on in the world.
What's with the comb and the eyeshadow while she's there?
I said that, I explained that. It was a desire to make a poignant statement.
There's no reality. She's not trying to make herself beautiful or anything.
Like no. She's trying to let people know, think about the fact that you've got your beauty parlor and you could send me some eyeshadow in the grave, you know? Tashma, how about this, Maisa? Avuah de Shmuel. Shmuel's father was the one who was entrusted with all the money that had been collected for Yitomim, for Tzedakah. And when he died, nobody was there. Shmuel wasn't around. And therefore, he couldn't get the information from his father as to where he had hid the money for the Yitomim. And they started calling Shmuel, oh, there's the son of the guy that devoured all the money of the Yitomim. So he figured we better stick up for that's covered over here. So he too also abatri lechatzer mavet. Amar lehu. So he comes to this chatzer mavet and says, I'm looking for Abba. I'm looking for Abba. Where are you going? Shmuel's Abba's name was Abba.
I think they did not.
As a matter of fact, the question over here is, does the son have a right to call his father by his first name, even in these circumstances? There are some who say that it's only because Abba also means Abba, so it's not necessarily an insult to him, Abba. But anyway, I'm looking for Abba. So they said to him, you got to be kidding. You know how many Abbas there are up here? I mean, I don't believe this. What's with you, man? So, it's Abba Tuva Ikachi. Now I'm looking for Abba, the son of Abba. Man, you got a telephone book? Want to say how many Abba Bar Abba? I'm like, well, okay, I'm looking for Abba Bar Abba. Nami Tuva Ikachi, plenty of them too. I'm like, but you know, Abba Bar Abba, who are the Shmuel? I'm looking for the one who's the father of Shmuel. Oh, him. Oh, that one we know. Solek Lemetivta Derakia. He's in the yeshiva of the sky. This is for the people that are high.
Yeshiva Gavon.
That's right. This is the ultimate Beis Medrash Elyon. And he goes up there. So meanwhile, he's on his way into the yeshiva to meet his father, and he sees his friend Levi is sitting on the stairs outside. Kazi Levi, he asks, I'm like, what's going on over here? Why are you outside of Beit HaMidrash? My time of Lo Salakwa, they don't let you in there? Oh, my life. Well, they told me, Koki, Anak Shani, Golos, a week with Matif to Ravafis. All those years that you refused to show up for Ravafis this year made him feel miserable. You ain't going into the yeshiva. Lo, my, we know the call of Matif to the Rakia. So I'm stuck outside. Meanwhile, he sees his father coming out of Beit HaMidrash. Somebody must have told him that Shmuel is nearby. So Achazi Dabi Kabochi Ba'ochi, he sees that his father is crying but smiling. Omalei, my time of Kabochita. What's going on? He says, well, I've got some good news and some bad news. Which one do you want first? And why are you crying? Well, I'm crying because you're going to be coming soon. Dela'agel ka'atita. So why are you smiling? I'm smiling because you have a fantastic reputation. Now here Rashi learns, in Olam Hazeh, in other words, in that world, Baha'i Olam, not in this world, and therefore there's different ways of learning the continuations. Other learn Baha'i Alma is here. So anyway, so he said to him, oh, well, if I am so chashev, I'd like Levi to be brought into the Beit HaMidrash. I don't like the idea of my chavrusa being outside. So they did. By lieu of the Levi, they took Levi in. Anyway, then he got back to his father. He said, whatever happened to the money of the Yatomim? What you should do is lift up the support for the Rechayim. And then you got all the dirt underneath. And you'll find there's three levels of wallets there, okay? The top one and the bottom one belongs to us. The middle one belongs to the Yatomim. So I'm like, my time of Adatashi, what's the meaning of that? I'm like, well, I figure like this. Ignuve ganve, if there's ganovim who get to it, they'll figure they already took the money when they get the first wallet, so I'd rather they steal our money than they steal the Yatomim's money. And if there's like some damp in the ground, I'd rather it gets our wallet and not the Yatomim's wallet, so I put the Yatomim stuff in the middle. So yak la'ara, achlamidi dan. But anyway, Alma the Yada, I mean, it appears that they know, it's like in Rashi, the Shitaso means, they know who is considered to be Chashuv on earth. Because Baha'i Alma means in the world where you come from. According to Tosfos, that's not the point, because Baha'i Alma meant here in the Rakia, and therefore Tosfos learns the thing is, that they knew that, his father knew that Shmuel was going to be coming soon. Now we can't say that that's because, therefore Tosfos bothered, because we already said before, you've always got Duma talking about Josephine. I mean, so why couldn't you say the same thing about Shmuel? So he says, because that's only immediately before. I mean, she was on her deathbed. They were already making room for Vashenka. And over here, he can't say that. But asks the Gemara, not necessarily. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. Because it could be that Shmuel was so chashuv, they needed to give him a place at the Beis HaMedrash. So that means they needed to reorganize the seats in the Beis HaMedrash, you understand? So that takes some time. I mean, that takes some doing it. I mean, you know what it's like, setting up chavrusas and so on. So basically, they announce beforehand, look, anybody who doesn't have a chavrusa can wait, next month for Shmuel. So maybe that's how they know. In which case, Dilma Shani Shmuel, They were saying is make some place for Shmuel over here. The truth is that even Rabbi Yonatan, who was the one who had let his tzitzis hang out and was saying to Rabbi Chia that, you know, what's the difference anyway? Even he apparently had charata, because he was quoted in later years by Rishpur Bar Nachmeni as saying, Amr Rishpur Bar Nachmeni, Amr Rabbi Yonatan, how do we know that Meitim would communicate with each other? Moshe Rabbeinu was told by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who takes him up to see the whole of Eretz Yisrael, and says to him, okay, here's the Eretz, what does Leymor mean in that context? Leymor, understand, if you're about to say something, you say Leymor to say. But I mean, this was said hundreds of years ago. You just say, Zotar, Shishbati, Lavram, Litzchak. So my Leymor, Omar, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe, I want you to say it. Leymor, in other words, Leymor, I want you to go tell Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, that Shvulashen, Shishbati, Lachem, I was already mekayim it for your children. Now, according to Rabbi Yonatan, what was the reason? Remember, there's two levels of the question over here about hametim, yodim or not yodim. One was Rabbi Yonatan's raya, which was hametim enam yodim ma'uma. Enam yodim ma'uma means they simply have no awareness of anything. And therefore, anything that would have to do with life in Olam Hazeh, it's not a question of knowing or not knowing. It has no meaning. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like listening. Somebody's not interested in sports, you know. He listens to the sports news. He's like, what are they talking about? I don't know what the name of the game is. Coach K, I don't know what this number runs. What is that? Runs, hits, what do they do? But each other over there. No idea what they're talking about, Bichlal, you know. Or somebody else who listens to Israeli politics. He's wondering, like, what we talked about some jungle tribe, or what exactly is that? So if you don't know what's happening, so it doesn't even matter to get the information, because there's no concept of information. So according to him, since the pasuk was enam yodim ma'uma, as opposed to the pasuk before, where we said that yichabdu banav, and he won't be margish, that's something else. He doesn't know what is happening, but he may be aware of the reality of it. So Rabbi Yonatan l'shitato, this doesn't make any sense. Because according to Rabbi Yonatan, even if Moshe would come and tell Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Shua, Shem, Yishbari, I have no idea what you're talking about. That information has no meaning to me. Because in having left this level of reality, it simply doesn't add up for me. It's not just, what? What Shua, what? I'm not, it's not Nogea. Therefore, Legabe Rabbi Yonatan, it's clear that Rabbi Yonatan had karata. Now, in terms of the previous sugya that we just had, where over there we were trying to prove whether Dad knows about our pain, over there was a question of whether he's aware of what's going on. There, bitchy! There we could use as an answer the fact that somebody came, Moshe Rabbeinu came and told them, so to speak. And there wouldn't be a problem. Because there the question was, do they have the information? Not whether the information has any meaning. But in context of Rav Yonatan's pasuk, this is proof that Rav Yonatan had charat. You understand? We don't make that distinction. That makes no sense. Because we just used as an answer the fact that you could find out something for somebody else. And that wasn't the contradiction to the question of whether the dead know. For Rav Yonatan, it's a contradiction. If you're going to tell me that ametim enam yodim ma'uma, so ki amar lo, my havi, what would be the point of Moshe saying over absolutely meaningless information? You know what this is like? It's like somebody who moved to Israel 50 years ago. Somebody comes from his old hometown and tells him over what's going on in the shul politics. I don't know what? Thinking that, you know, you're still into, I mean, after all, you came from the Altaim. I don't know what you're talking about. What shul, what people? Absolutely, it's like a different life. So, okay, so it must be that they do know. Wait a minute. So then, l'shitatcha, if they know, then they know. So what's the point? So, elamai diyade. So, lama leila meimalu. Why then would he have to tell them anything? Since, according to him, it's an either-or proposition. If Ya'ametim Yodim U'umah, then why wouldn't they know what's going on? It means that they still relate to that world. So then why does Moshe have to tell them? Nah. I was just to give an excuse. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Moshe to go over to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov so that once he comes and tells them the message, he'll have to say, Moshe, you're a good guy, you did all of this work. Thank you very much. So he wanted like Zukelei Tova. Moshe came, would they never meet Moshe, you know. I mean, it's like this. Moshe's going to be coming over, so I got a message. So they said, what do you mean you got a message? We don't know what's going on. Ah, thank you, Moshe. That was very well done. So Lav Zukile Tivuta La Moshe.
Why is that important?
What's that?
Why is that
important? Zuki Tova? That's what life is all about, of course. Tova. It's existentially important. It has nothing to do with it. HaKoros Tov is not important. You're going to miss the halakha? You're going to miss the review? There's something else? Have a nice Shabbos. Matzei Shabbat times. 8:13? 8? What time is not during your
Shabbat? What time is not? 8:30.
8:30
is good.
8:30
is good. Somebody have a phone?
I have.
They're doing some kind of.
My daughter's
Can you wait one second? I want to find out what I can get away with. Can we do 8 o'clock? Because I'm simply not sure. I mean, I don't want to keep everybody waiting for this silly phone call. If you don't mind, I'll try one more number. You want to give it 10 more seconds?
This comes out.
Right, I would think you'd use it without that. This will probably be.
Yeah, sorry to bother you. What time is the thing for our parrot? What time? I need to know what time Bafyomi is. Okay. All right, let's make it 8. All right, never mind.
I don't think it works without the battery pack.
Oh, really? I thought it was smaller.
Maybe it
does. Mm. So you've got a big battery pack in here.
That's what I think.
So why make it come out at all?
It doesn't come out
at all. It's not charged or something?
Maybe it's recharged.
No, it doesn't. It's charged.
Take it out.
Okay, review time.
I'm going to get into it right now.